You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Today's MSP Zone episode has a Weaver Outrage Meter rating of medium. I repeat, today's Weaver Outrage Meter is medium. Be advised. We are going to be talking about a very important topic. And no, I'm not baiting you by setting today's Outrage Meter at a medium, but I anticipate I'm going to tackle some topics that are going to inflame the passions, or they should at least. And if you are offended by that, maybe you should stop listening. No, I don't want you to stop listening, but listen, and listen with an open mind, because I'm going to take a series of topics and I'm going to combine them because they interrelate in very critical ways. And I'm going to attempt to break down and make simple what is, in other terms and in other hands, overly complex. Like, I feel like these topics that we're going to talk about today are more complex than they need to be. And that is unnecessary. I don't like complexity. I want to make this as simple as possible for you guys. And it's taken me a while to, you know, wrap my head around what all the contributing issues are, and I think I have a pretty good handle on this at this moment, and I'm going to share that with you today. So if I stand at the ready with the censorship button, if there's anything where I think the outrage meter is going to get a little too crazy, you will hear this noise. And that will be me censoring myself so that the outrage meter doesn't rise above the medium level that I've just mentioned. So let's just dive right in. Topic for today: the difference between MSP and MSSP. Now, for those of you who are in the managed storage services provider business, you are out of luck, I am sorry to say. You have come to the wrong place today, because this has no bearing on you. It's actually not quite true at all, but the point is that the MSSP security faction of the profession has completely run amok, and they have stolen your identity, at least as it comes when it comes to that acronym, MSSP. I'm half joking, of course, but I just didn't want there to be any confusion or mistake out there about what I was talking about when I referenced MSSP. Okay. If we are to, well, let's just start with the obvious. There is undeniably right now an active campaign to convince as many people in the MSP channel, which, by the way, when I say MSP channel, the channel is the MSP channel. The MSP is the channel. There is no distinction. There are other non-MSPs in the IT global channel, yes, but the MSP population makes up the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of the IT channel globally are comprised of MSSPs. Look what I just did there. A faux pas, yes. They're made up of MSPs. And the campaign that I'm talking about is this notion that you are not really a good MSP, or you're not really practicing managed services unless you're an MSSP. And I would like to start our examination of this topic right there. Which the inference is, if you're just a normal MSP, well, you don't do anything related to security, either for yourself or for your customers. And there's one thing I have to say about that. untrue. Complete. The fact, the claim, let me rephrase, the claim that a managed service provider, a managed IT service provider, does not care about or take measures to protect themselves internally, nor do they offer any meaningful type of managed IT security offering to their customers, is it's not true. It is just not true. So I would like, every time you read, you hear, you watch someone, you ingest information that indicates in some way that there is a distinction between MSP and MSSP, and that distinction means the MSPs are in some way doing something less than what they should be doing, I want you to reject it. I want you to reject it out of hand, because in my opinion, it's not true. It's demonstrably not true. How is it demonstrably not true? It's demonstrably not true because I have firsthand witnessed a lot of MSPs on this planet, arguably more than most of you, not because of any virtue on my part, just because I have occupied this profession, this job for 22 years, and this is all I've been doing. So I have some measure of knowledge of this. I have some somewhat impartial view of MSPs, regardless of the types of technologies they deliver and the vendor relationships they have. I've examined them. I study them. It's what I do. And I can tell you that the garden variety MSP does a lot to protect themselves internally, and they do a lot to protect their customers. And they have for many, many decades. They've been doing it since the mid to late 90s. So I do categorically challenge this concept of the MSP versus MSSP is in some way a distinction of security, preparedness, and, you know, I don't know, it's not sloppiness, but it's just like it's a negative connotation. It's a pejorative term to now call someone an MSP. You have to be an MSSP. If you're not, you're not really in managed services, is the connotation. I'm adding my editorial powers here to explain a concept. But it is not true to insinuate the MSPs have been completely lax around the area of security. Yes, it is true that there have been, from the very beginning days of the managed services profession, there have been subcategories, subspecialties, as they do continue to exist today, of MSPs who practice, let's say, more in the security sector, some exclusively. It has happened for a long time. And I would say that there has been a progression over 20 plus years of the MSP becoming more aware of, as the market demand has shifted, the MSP has become more aware of the demand for managed security services. But that still does not change the fact that I can point to a number of early MSPs who were, no matter how they described themselves, they were MSPs, and they had a definite focus on security. Firewall management typically would be the common area because that was the common technology that we used. But it wasn't exclusive to firewalls. They would use firewalls. They would use multi-factor authentication. Yes, even in the 20 years ago era. And several other security solutions that were emerging, typically at the enterprise level, but you know, that's the way things go in this sector. But yeah, don't for a second believe that the MSPs somehow are just deficient in security. Like somehow they don't understand security. Like that is just, it's malarkey. It is complete crap. don't fall for it for a second. It is a campaign to get you to buy managed security technologies. And I am all in favor of you buying managed security technologies. Believe me, this is not about the virtue or lack thereof of buying and upgrading your security defenses as a modern day practicing MSP. Completely separate. I just don't like the approach that's being taken by some, not all, but by some who are trying to insinuate for that sale that you are, that you've been, you know, lax. It's not that, right? I would prefer to look at it this way. The MSP profession, on the whole, has been at the forefront of protecting and managing IT assets belonging to their customers for more than 20 years. And just like we have seen many, many examples of the MSP pushing downstream to their customers new technologies as they become available, as they become readily available. Not just are they available, are they capable of being delivered from a technological standpoint, and are they priced accordingly so that they can be cost justified by the vast majority of enterprise, mid-market, and SMB customers and organizations. All those things must be true. And there is no doubt in my mind, and nor should there be any doubt in your mind, that the MSPs have been very willing over 25 plus years of doing what they do to constantly reevaluate their technology skill sets, the technology equipment and software that they use and deliver to their customers. And that is always being looked at and refreshed. And that is the same thing that we're going through today with this push towards managed security services. It's not new. It's just that there are some new technologies that are fantastic that we need to get higher adoption. I just don't like the way we're going about doing it. And I'll tell you why I don't like it. I'll tell you why exactly. I'm going to read, and I'm not going to say who it is because I think they might be a member. And it comes up when you search this term, and it describes an MSP as being focused on the usability and performance of their customers' IT infrastructure asset resource stack. And it describes the MSSP as being focused on security. It doesn't say only focused, but it says focused on security. And that in and of itself, that description, that definition is horribly wrong. It's horribly wrong because it's misleading. It is misleading because, again, it goes to my earlier point, it tells an uneducated, unaware listener or reader that somehow the average MSPs that are out there aren't focused on your security. Again, it's complete. It is not true. MSPs, since the early days, even the general practitioners have had a very big hand in protecting customers, managed customers, from a variety of threats, such as they were back then. And the threats were very different, I'll grant you that, than they are today. But they were absolutely considering security. They were considering the present day, at that time, threats that were reasonably likely to impact a customer. And yes, you could make an argument that the threats that were facing end user organizations 20 years ago had a lot to do with usability and performance, availability, shall we say. I'm not I'm not debating that. By the way, I'm not debating that that's not still true today. Let us not forget that the huge impact of ransomware impacts what? It impacts availability. It impacts your financial bottom line if you have to ultimately, you know, if you're extorted for this money to get your data back and your systems back online, like the Colonial Pipeline. But it's about availability. Everything is about usability, performance, and availability. It just so happens that security today its DNA has been spliced into the core concept and mandate of the MSP. That has changed from 20 years ago to today. And yes, But to say today in 2022 that the MSP is not focused on security, they're only focused on usability and performance, and that the MSSP is only focused on your security is an inaccurate statement. It misdefines and mischaracterizes a great number of MSPs currently practicing on the planet. Like thousands and thousands would fall into that miscategorization category if you use that definition. Now, I apologize if this company, you know, maybe this was an old post, maybe, you know, they've changed their stance. I don't know. Maybe it was just designed to get people's attention. But the point is that people read this. Customers read this. And that's a problem. And that's why we're talking about this, because I don't want it to be an even greater problem. So now we've talked about the legacy or historical approach of MSPs and security. We've talked about, you know, this push to redefine MSP as MSSP. And part of that redefinition attempt is this idea that the MSPs are somehow lacking something that they need today. And in one area, I do agree with that, which is if it's relevant to talk about this older topic of debate, which we've had in the MSP profession for a while now. And it's really relevant because it's an interesting dichotomy between how we used to treat the network operation center versus how we today are treating the security operation center. Now, you may be wondering what do those two things have to do with each other other than they sound similar? Well, here's how those interrelate, those two topics. If you recall, those of you who were in the profession, you know, many years ago, you will recall the debate that we had of, do you build a network operation center, a NOC, or do you partner, do you outsource? And that brought into the conversation the concept of using the master MSP. And the master MSP concept, for those of you who do recall this, was, look, if you don't have the skill set, if you don't have the people, if you don't have the discipline, yeah, that was a big one. If you didn't have the discipline as an organization to deliver a managed services offering, then you would, the theory goes, you would partner with a master MSP and they would offer you and your customers the benefit of their fully capable NOC. And that would be something that you could put you in the managed services game like overnight, right? Like you don't have to hire anybody. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to buy the RMM platform. You don't have to buy the ticketing platform. You just do it through the master MSP. And a couple of things, we learned a couple of things about that professional model pretty early on, or at least I did. Number one, the master MSP model was very helpful early on when it came to the RMM vendors pushing product downstream, because what they found is they had yet another distribution partner who would help them, like a Salesforce extension, if you will. And I get why they did it, you know, mostly for financial reasons. But there you go. It did make sense from a financial reason for chiefly the VAR or the reseller who was thinking about using the master MSP, because they didn't want to risk a lot of resources, including money, in getting into managed services, doing it incorrectly and wasting a bunch of money in the process. So going with the master MSP had some appeal to a lot of resellers and VARs, companies that were more on the reactive side than the proactive side. If you were a proactive MSP, you had very little reason to use a master MSP because they weren't doing anything differently than you were. So that was a big kind of known secret in the market, right? When you would see master MSPs approach other MSPs and say, hey, why don't you partner with us? And the MSP would say, well, because who says you're doing anything differently or better than I am? And in those days, you might think, well, why would they even have that conversation, you know, given what we know today? Well, early on, you know, there was a lot less known about the managed services profession than we know today. Still, there were, I think, very justified reasons for partnering with master MSPs, even if you are a fully fledged, mature MSP yourself, and that would involve things such as augmenting your existing staff. If you didn't have the capability or maybe the justification for all of your customers to be on a full 24/7 NOC schedule, which requires a lot of people, you know, multiple shifts, you know, at least one or two people per shift was the thinking back then. It was really, really expensive to staff that out. And, you know, some MSP owners said, look, I'm going to run my business 8 to 5, 8 to 7, Monday through Friday, and after hours and weekends, I'm going to use this outsourced NOC. And that made a lot of sense for some people. And honestly, today, it does still make a lot of sense. The fact that most of the really falling for that one today. The fact that most of the MSPs today don't have master MSPs anymore. What they have instead are the big RMM vendors who have now kind of taken over that master MSP role when it comes to augmenting a help or NOC, help desk or a NOC, and, you know, especially for after hours or for weekend holiday type of coverage. It's still the same. The MSP should be and is largely responsible still for the services that they deliver. And using a master MSP today has less and less desire and less benefit, right? There's just not a lot of value that the MSPs get from that master MSP business model today. The times have just changed. That's fine. But now that we've analyzed the outsourced NOC and how that was used and still is today successfully used by MSPs all over the world, does that same theory apply to a security operations center or a SOC? Now, that's a little different. The SOC, some people call it SOC as a service. Some people call it SIM, you know, Security Incident Event Management. You know, SIM tools, which have been around for decades. Security Analyst Services. There's a lot of different terms and acronyms being used, but I'm going to call it SOC as a generality. Today, I would say that there are a multitude of reasons why you would not want to build your own security operations center. Now, I am personally aware of a good number, like maybe in a dozen or so, of MSPs who do own their own SOC. They have it staffed 24/7. They have the right tools. They have the right people. They have analysts that can do the work. We're going to get to that momentarily. And it works for them because that's the business they're in. And that's the majority of the service that they deliver to their customers. So they have to own it because that's, you know, that's what they do. For the rest of the MSP community, should you build a SOC yourself or should you outsource it? Here's where it's slightly different. I think that every MSP ought to be delivering services that are in part, not entirely, but in part bolstered or supplied by a security operations center concept. When I say concept, because the term SOC, even in the last several years, has been greatly modified and blurred, because now we're not really talking anymore about a physical SOC. We're not talking about the traditional, you know, walled off glass with the security monitors and the SOC analysts in there and, you know, all of that, the traditional SOC concept we all have in our mind. Today, that is rapidly being, not removed, but it's being supplemented with a handful of people in a secure room or a secure series of locations, because quite frankly, a lot of them are working remotely. And it's being supported by AI and machine learning and smarter technology that is doing a lot of the analyst work that 10, 20 years ago would have been done by a person. Now that to me is really interesting because it addresses a number of issues that we have been wrestling with in the managed services profession over the last several years. The first one is the title of this podcast episode, which is, should you as an MSP be delivering managed security services? I think yes, with the exception that there are a number of MSPs who do certain, shall we say, very vertically focused offerings or service vertically focused customers, and therefore security doesn't come up because it's not part of the mandate that MSP plays for its customers. That role of the MSP for that customer segment isn't really dominant on security. Now I'm thinking of, you know, applications. I'm thinking of the infrastructure folks. I'm thinking of maybe some people on the database side where they wouldn't have the authority, the jurisdiction to delve into the security area for their customers because it's either being done internally or it's being done by another MSP. All right. So let's keep that in our minds as well. Should the MSP be doing security monitoring and management internally? Now, here's where I'm going to, you know, make a fairly declarative, you know, unilateral statement. Yes. All MSPs, I don't care what you do. If you are a true proactive managed IT service provider, whether you deliver security or not to your customers, you have an obligation, and our professional best practices, our standards, our certifications like MSP Verify, all place the responsibility for you as an MSP practicing today in 2022 to be taking necessary steps to safeguard your infrastructure, your people, your organization, and by extension, all of your customers, even if you're not delivering security as a service. Because you now, like all of your vendors, impact your downstream customers. So there is no excuse to not be doing security yourself as an MSP. And if you want to argue, maybe that wasn't the case 20 years ago, yeah, I mean, I don't want to give that away because I think, honestly, most MSPs that I talked to 20 years ago took security very, very seriously. This has never been a profession that, in my opinion, ever had a period where they didn't really take serious the security of themselves and their customers. But towards that end, should you as a everyday general practitioner MSP be thinking about delivering SOC as a service offerings? I think you should, but I don't think you ought to be doing it yourself. I think it's crazy for you to do it yourself. I would be partnering with any of these outsourced, and they don't call themselves master MSPs anymore. You know, I would be going to true MSSPs. I would be going to the EDR, MDR, XDR style of technologies, many of whom are right now blending or migrating or merging or whatever you want to call it. They are morphing into a new hybrid service delivery model where their technology and the AI driven or machine learning driven aspects of their technology coupled with maybe a service desk that would play, you know, maybe like a tier three, you know, like a much higher advanced security analyst role. It doesn't interact with the customers almost any time. It only interacts with your internal technology team. It does the basic blocking and tackling. All that stuff is very legitimate and very expensive for you as an MSP to develop yourself. Not impossible, just difficult. And expensive. But like I said just before, your responsibility and the expectation on you as a general MSP is to be doing things like any MSSP would, at least for yourselves internally. And quite frankly, I think it's a missed opportunity for you not to be delivering managed security to your customers. Now, this brings in a whole host of other issues that I don't have time to tackle. Namely, we've been really struggling with this idea of human resources and where to get the next generation of MSP professionals. And there has been a lot of talk about, you know, the rapid recruitment of certain vocational schools and universities who are pumping out quote-unquote cybersecurity analysts. There's a lot to be, there's a lot left to be done there. This is not quite ready to solve our problem. And I'm going to be talking about that in a future episode. But the difference between an MSP and an MSSP, I don't know if it has a distinction today. Honestly, I don't. You may be solely focused on managed security, and if that's the case, then maybe you call yourself an MSP or MSSP. But if you're a general practitioner, there is no reason that you can't be completely versed in the security concepts that we're facing today, both as an MSP internally for your own controls, but also as you advise your customers, there's a great opportunity for more and more of those security controls to be pushed downstream to customers because they're finally starting to wake up and realize how dangerous a world it is out there online. So I hope this helped. And again, I try not to be too emphatic or too, you know, this is the only way to look at it because I do think that there are a lot of different flavors and textures to this profession. That's one of the things that I find so fascinating about it. But I do think that we should be very careful about this, again, my opinion, a pejorative view of if you're not an MSSP, you are nothing, or you are somehow less desirable as a managed service provider. And that, I think, is something that categorically we ought to not embrace. We shouldn't foster that because A, I don't believe it's true, and B, I don't think it's helpful for the MSP profession. It's not helpful for the customers we serve. And I think a more practical, reasonable approach is required. Anyway, I hope that the outrage meter was accurate. I think I tried to stay at a medium or below. Let me know your thoughts. I mean, this is really complicated stuff. I tried to make it simple, but if you guys have a perspective that I missed, definitely shoot us a comment, send a comment, hit the like button if you like this episode. We definitely like your feedback. And till next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.